The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
I see a deficit in society. And I see a lot of people thinking their way of economics works. When I hear Democrats talk today, they think their version of economic principles will work. When I hear Republicans talk, I hear the same thing. They think their version of economics can work. And the truth about economics is there is no version of economics for politics. Economics is a law, just like the law of gravity, the law of chemicals, the law of science. It's the same for everyone. You can't manipulate the laws of economics to fit your agenda. It doesn't work. So there are laws and principles that are the same. They either work or they don't. But one of the things I also see is very few people today are arguing for a true free market system. Now, I'm not going to put myself in the league of some of the gents who have come before me. But this world is sorely missing a Milton Friedman, is missing a Hayek, is missing a Van Mises. Their principles are lost on so many people today. And I want to break it down. I want to do my part to share those principles. And I want to do my best to share the free market principles. Because free markets is, sometimes a lot of people say free markets bores me. I don't like when you talk economics. But it is so intrinsically linked to freedom. That is such a big part of your freedom. It's why I'm a free market supporter, not a capitalist. I am a free market supporter. And we're going to explain the difference between those two philosophies next year. But onto the economics I want to talk to you about today, and I want to lay the groundwork for some shows next year. If you've been following the politics of the day, it looks, as when I'm recording this, it looks like Donald Trump is going to get his tax bill passed. Obviously, it depends on what's going to be in it. The House has passed their version, the Senate has passed theirs, and they're now doing reconciliation where they negotiate. It's gas, you know. The GOP controls the House and they control the Senate, but yet they still have to have this process. And I don't know what's going to come from it. Am I thrilled with what I've heard? No. But full disclosure, I'm a fair tax kind of guy, so I'm not going to hear a GOP tax plan that makes me go, oh yeah, I love that tax plan. I really want to support that tax plan. It just isn't going to happen. Maybe one day it will. But it has a knock-on effect. And you're seeing a lot of people be unhappy. You're seeing a lot of the liberal talking points about, you know, it's going to raise the deficits. I find that ironic, considering with the GOP and the House, and then the Senate for a couple of years, and under Barack Obama for 8 years, they didn't care about the deficit, even though it doubled. It went from $9.6 trillion to $19 trillion. So I'm not in the mood to listen to their arguments about their concerns for the debt. But the impact of this is going to be felt abroad as well. Because abroad, a lot of people are not happy with this tax plan. Right now, there are people from 5 countries who are not happy with the potential tax plan that you're seeing in America. Those countries are the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany. They've already written a letter, a combined letter, to the US Treasury, Stephen Mnuchin. Or, I think that's how you pronounce his name. If it isn't, I apologize. And I quote from an article over here, the Daily Mail. Europe's 5 biggest economies have warned Donald Trump that plans for massive US tax reforms may end up violating international trade rules. They fear the tax initiatives and fear they could harm the global economy. It seriously risks hampering, I'm reading from the article, I'm skipping over the usual parts you don't need to know about. It seriously hampers genuine trade and investment flows between Europe and America. Their warning mirrors fears among some European businesses that aspects of Mr. Trump's tax reform bills may have been designed to give American companies an advantage over foreign rivals. You can read all this article if you want. It's EU's 5 top economies and warning to Donald Trump. What do I want to discuss to you about this? You've heard, if you follow your media an awful lot, you've heard different labels been used and either correctly or incorrectly, but the term globalist, we're living in a global economy. The problem that we have right now is not that we're living in a global economy. If you believe in free markets, you actually want a free global economy where, you know, you choose everything that you have, whether it's American made or Irish made or Japanese made, it doesn't matter. You have the final power. So if you believe in free markets, in a sense, you believe in a global economy. And therefore, to some people, are globalist, because it's not America first or any country first. It's you decide. But what you're seeing right now, especially when you have when you're dealing with socialist politicians, is we don't they don't believe in competition. What they do is always seek to try and put out a boogeyman, in this case America, and go, you're doing something that's not right and you need to stop. That is the problem, that the philosophy of socialism, and one of the reasons I am not a socialist, I'm the furthest thing from it. And a lot of people who I know listen to this show are the same. They don't have any aspect to be better. It's always, well, you're doing something that we don't like, that's innovative, that's different, and we got to pull you down. We got to pull you back to us, back to our level, so it's a level playing field. But also why you have this is you have a system where, not to get into the weeds of it, but this is the result of World War II, and not the actual result of World War II, what happened after it, where you had masterminds after World War II who said, do you know the only way you get Europe and the world not to be at war with each other is to integrate their economies, where you have so much integration in each other's economy that you feel like you have a say if someone else does something to you. The fact that you now have ministers of other countries saying, you know what, Donald Trump, you don't have a right to do this. It goes against international protocol. It will hurt free trade. The fact that you don't have the right to control your borders and the right to sovereignty within your borders is an erosion that is happening, not just in illegal immigration, but in laws, in customs, in finance. And it's a very troubling aspect that we need to address and address really quickly in the new year. But also there's another fact that always disturbs me. One of the frustrating things for me is when you hear about taxation, you never hear what taxation actually is. What taxation is a government or a union coming to you as an individual or as a company saying, you owe us X amount of money. Whether it's 1%, whether it's 10%, whether it's 20%, whether it's 50%. And regardless, and I would say this about Republicans as well, because Republicans don't do this. They always treat that money as theirs. Their mindset is always, let me use the simple numbers, right? You have a $100 bill in your pocket, and you have to pay tax on that, right? Let's say you have to pay 10% tax. Actually, no, that'd be great. No one would do a 10% tax. Let's do 25%. The way they look at that money is that $25 is theirs, and they have let you keep that $75. You've never owned a $100 bill. It's just we have let you own 75% of it. In this case, $75. But $25 of that $100 bill was always ours. It was never yours. Laws of ownership don't comply with that. You might have to pay the bill, but that $100 bill is yours. They always look at money as theirs. And you hear this in the tax bill. If you have a tax cut, which basically, let's just do it simple again. You have that $100 bill and you have to pay $25. If a tax cut comes in and it's saying you now only owe 20%, which would be a $20 bill. Look at the way the language is formed around that. Imagine how the language would be formed around that by Republicans and Democrats. Instead of saying, we're taking less of your money because you own it, we're just taking less of it. It's, well, you cost the government $5. That tax cut cost you $5. Even though you didn't create it in anything, you didn't innovate anything, you didn't offer anyone a service, all you simply did was someone else created and innovated and earned that money, and you come along and take it. But it costs you money. We need to make an argument, and I plan on making this argument as best as I can in the new year for you, on why money is yours. If you go out and earn something, you have the right. Yes, the right to the fruits of your labor, whether that's a service that you barter in between, or you barter products, or it's money, or it's cryptocurrency. If you work for something, it is yours. Now, we can argue about tax policy at a different time, but we need to understand that basis foundation for our arguments, which very few people today get. But also, there's this aspect, which I find incredibly funny, because the biggest thing the proposed bills, from reading them, happen. The biggest change, there's some minor changes here and there. The biggest change is your corporation tax is going from 35% to either 20% or 22%. That is a huge cut, and it will have huge impacts. And we'll discuss that in the new year. But basically, it's bringing the in line, the US tax policy, in line with everyone else. The truth of the matter is, here's why they're upset. For very, very long time, America has ripped off its own businesses. Yes, I said it. America has ripped off its own businesses. It has made it excessively expensive to operate a business in America. Let's just put this into context. Now, Ireland is hated for this on the opposite scale. Ireland's corporation tax is 12.5%. 12.5%. Just think of this from yourself. Which would you rather operate in? In a country like America, which has 39%, or a country like Ireland, which is 12.5%? Now, granted, there's a lot more for that equation, because America has a lot more materials, has a lot access to more people, more knowledge, more experience than Ireland has. America has major advantages, but just on the tax policy alone, Ireland kicks America's butt, 12.5% to 39%. Now, all of a sudden, you might be leaning heavily towards Ireland, especially if you're a big multinational. All of a sudden, it's now proposed from 12.5% to 20%. It's still a difference, but it's not a big difference. If you're a company, you're kind of going, Ireland, America, 12.5%, 20%. I'll still stick with America. That is the equation that a lot of people are upset about. That is the truth of why these people are upset. Because they understand that if America actually goes through with this 20% and it's signed into law, it's going to affect their businesses. They're not going to be able to rip off their businesses anymore. Because honestly, and I will say this, even though I don't support this bill, if America never did anything else at 20%, America's the best place to do business. It probably already is. But 39% and all the regulations, which again we'll talk about down the road, make it hard. And it makes it hard to do business. And the biggest thing, if you believe in free markets, the biggest thing we need to do is what? Not make it easy, because then you're giving a potential advantage to someone, but just get out of the way. Government's job is not to make business easy for people. It's not to make it hard for people. It's just to get out of the way and let people innovate. Because here's the great thing about people, about free markets. If you said to me, John, you know, explain to me in one sentence why free markets do you think are the best way forward? Here it is. Because you have movements around the world who claim to want to put power in the people's hands. You have Bernie Sanders, we want more power to the people. You have communists who say the same thing, you know, we the people, power to the people. You have constitutionalists saying it as well. Free markets is the only system that makes you, as an individual, the power broker. Because you have the power, not by your vote, or not by your living standards, not by your name or your race or your class. You have it in the almighty dollar. And what you spend it on is where you have the power. And then businesses and individuals have to compete for that dollar. So if you want to buy an iPhone, go ahead. You want to go buy the iPhone 10 and wait a couple of months and have to pre-order it and pay X, you know, I don't know how much the iPhone 10 is, what, $700 or $800 probably? Or if you want to just buy, you know, you're like me and you're going to go, phone is a phone is a phone. I'll go pay $20 in Walmart, $25 in Walmart and get a pay-as-you-go phone. That's what I did when I'm over there. And I use the same phone the whole time. It's very simple. Phone's a phone's a phone. And it's a Samsung as well that I have. I have no idea what brand. But same way with food. You have the power in your hand. You have the power. And nothing can control you. Nothing can control you because you decide. And I would take this on even smaller items. Take down, go shopping at Walmart. You're going shopping at Walmart or Target or Costco, wherever the hell you're going shopping for the Christmas. Wherever you go shopping, because there's so many of them. But let's just say, for example, you're going to Walmart. And you're walking down the aisle. And let's just take stuff you buy every day. You need to buy a carton of milk. You need to buy a loaf of bread. You want to buy some from cranberry sauce and some gravy. You have the power to buy them or not to buy them. But you also have the power which brand you buy them. And we're persuaded in different ways. So you might go, you know what, I only want milk, and milk is milk is milk. It all comes from a cow. It's just different and bottled and treated different. So I don't really care. I'm just going to buy the generic, whole, standard milk. The most bog standard, which is the label brand. It's not a fancy brand. You buy that. On bread, you might be particularly tricky because you might go, you know what, this bread is treated different and it always seems to be softer and it has better flavors in it. I'm going to buy that. And then for your cranberry sauce, you might go, that has 30% less fat and I'm trying to lose weight and, you know, I don't want to put on a load of weight over it, so I'm going to buy it for that reason. Or then you might walk down the aisle and, you know, you need some biscuits and there might be a deal there. You know, biscuits, buy one, get one free. And you're like, well, you know what? I don't normally buy that brand, but I'm getting one free, so I'll buy them. You've bought four different products for four different reasons. You have the power. It's not some politician kind of going, you must buy this milk. And this milk is approved. And you're not buying this biscuit because, you know, it's not fair. Like, that company offered you one free. That's not fair to the other biscuit companies. That's an unfair advantage. You know, that, what do they do? Well, they have the right to do. They have the innovation. That's called promotion. Or you might buy... I'm trying to think of a product. You see, this is where when I'm over in Ireland, I lose all track. But let's say you want to buy a bar of chocolate, or I'm really actually struggling for an example here. You know, some product that is endorsed by someone. Think of a bar of chocolate that's endorsed by your favorite sports star. Hey, I'm buying a bar of chocolate. Oh, my favorite quarterback who plays for the local football team has endorsed that. I'm going to buy it because of him. You bought it because of promotion. The argument for free markets is always very, very simple. It's because it puts the power in your hand. Not in Donald Trump's hand, not in Paul Ryan's hand, not in Mitch McConnell's hand, not in a politician's hand, not in a bureaucrat's hand, but your hand. And it trusts you to say, you know what's best for you and your life. You know what's best for you and your family. That is the argument for the free markets. And this is an argument we're going to make more and more in the new year. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on demand.
The Blaze Radio Network.